everybody. My name is Andy Clodfelter.
And I'm Lisa Monahan.
And you're listening to 90s Court. Welcome back, everybody. We're so glad to have you on this, our lovely Friday edition of 90s Court. You know,
yes.
For all the people that are absolutely not listening on Friday, but we're recording it on a slightly different day. So we got that, at least I got that post-work energy. So what's up, y'all?
Yeah, and I've got that the sun was never shining, not once today energy, okay. Where I was like dead on the ground at 5:30 p.m. So
similar,
I'm bringing that kind of heat tonight.
Similar
yes.
heat, I would say, from both ends. So, but yeah, so what have you been up to this week, Lisa? Anything rad since we last talked like 5 days ago?
round two of the shots for my husband. So he's been, you know,
shot.
He's been feeling kind of wonky, but he's good. I get mine Sunday, which is why we're recording on Friday. Cause I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be a person that night. So, but yeah, just waiting for storm season to really ramp up. I'm just kind of sitting here like, oh, we got hail. We got a crazy hailstorm
yesterday. I did get to see that. I was like, and here's the thing. Like, I don't get that many. I hear about them and they always seem to be just away from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
All these huge hailstorms with these massive, golf ball size hail, but yours were huge.
They were golf ball and larger, and we got some damage to like some of the outside of the property. Like we'll have to get our roof checked, but like I was able, because I am a weirdo storm chaser, my car was in the garage in time. So How are you? How was your week?
Pretty solid. It was a weird week, but that's neither here nor there, not really relevant to 90s Court. but I will say, so today I'm going to say something that's going to be future speak, because when you're listening to this, I will have gone to a 90s themed birthday party.
That's right. That's this weekend.
It's not even like, I mean, I'm pretty sure like they're going to probably have 90s themed snacks. I'm definitely going to wear a little bit of 90s court merch just because it's easy to wear. So I'm excited for that. Just, you know, show up and be like, listen, like, I think it's cute that you guys are all here. I am kind of like, I don't know, like a little bit of a pro. See, I'll tell them I'm a pro, but then if anybody like questions me about something on 90s Court, I'm like, we're not professionals, we're just having fun.
We're just here for the laughs,
gang.
If it's not too late, I would give anything for you to go find a brown wig.
It's too late.
Oh, it's not too late. Oh, wait, is it too late? It's not too late.
Oh.
Is it too late?
I mean, as of when they're listening to this episode, it will be.
No. For you, the 90s party, you go get like a big brown wig and part it down the middle and then cut all the hair off to where it's just the curtains cut. Andy, if you did that.
Just going to a store just to buy a shitty wig to destroy it for a one-time
use. Yes. That's the most American thing I've heard in a long time. America. I love it. Anyway. So Andy's got his party. I got a hailstorm. We got Patreon shout outs to do.
Let's do
those. All right. I have no ability to make music on the fly somehow. So Judge Troy, what's up? Thank you. Judge Anthony, I'm dabbing. You cannot see it. Mercifully, no one can see the dab. Thank you guys so much. Judges, I kneel before you. I don't know if that's appropriate to do with judges. I might be escorted out of the court. Thank you for the like background humming. What are you humming? Are you humming?
It's literally the Andy Griffith Show, and I don't know why that was the thing that came on, but I just started humming it.
That's a good one, though. I really thought it was Soul Sister.
It was a lot better until you stopped reading the names. I'll be honest.
We'll continue on. We're giving shout outs to Bailiff Alyssa with Next Session Podcast. Bailiff David, what's up? Bailiff Jake, what's up?
Hey.
Bailiff Lindsay, what's up? We love you guys so much.
Oh, I thought there was another name, but then it was just the next segment was right after
the next
that.
Thing. Yeah. Andy always does our show notes. I got to do them this week and I formatted them, but those don't translate into Instagram DMs. So he lost out on that. But those are our Patreon supporters for this week. The others will get a shout out next week. Thank you guys again for everything that you do for supporting the show,
so
listening. Yes, so very pretty. Have you looked in the mirror yet today? Because you're so pretty.
You deserve it.
So I guess we're rolling into my thing.
Yeah.
To get the show.
What can I ask you this though? What if we didn't?
What if we didn't go, Mike? Do you want to do your thing?
No, it's funny. I was gonna say that, and then I realized that some people might think that I was like gonna introduce a new segment, but I'm not. I just said that, and then realized I had no follow up on that. But
look at that. All bark, no bite. Look at you. That's
basically been me this entire podcast, and everyone knows that.
The Andy Klopfelter way. We don't change, buddy. So, Andy, you played a lot of board games growing up. That is evidenced by things that you've covered in the past. And much like how we discovered on our trips to Borders bookstores, how different those were, our interest in board games were also very different. And so I'm sticking with the theme of malls today and discussing one of two board games that I loved dearly growing up. The first being Dream Phone, which I covered in an early recess episode. Yeah, it was right after episode 3. So between 3 and 4 was a recess episode in which I covered Dream Phone. Recommend going and checking that one out. But the game I'm covering today is one I loved very, very dearly, and it's none other than Mall Madness. That's Mall Madness.
It's like I know they have multiple games like this, but the get your own credit.
No, stop. Why did it start playing again? Sorry.
I thought you were just doing it as a punk. That would be great. But
no, I'm not a bitch. I was actively picking up my phone to turn it down and please. Be like, just in case it starts playing again. And it's like, punk, I got you.
Punk me. Yeah. So, but no, I love, I don't know what, just something about the idea of being like, get your own credit card. And I'm just like, good.
That's something we need to teach kids. So that's Mall Madness. Mall Madness is a game originally released in 1989, and it's focused on a very simple gameplay. You are one of four players, or up to four players. You are given $150 in cash and a credit card, which is just a little piece of cardboard. And the goal of the game is to buy 6 items in the mall, and you stay within your budget, and you have to be the first one to make it back to the parking lot with all of your items. So, consumerism, the game.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I've heard of this game a billion times. I've seen the game in person. That is the first time I've ever heard someone explain the rules to this goddamn game to me.
I know.
Like, even vaguely the rules. I had no idea. Like, for some reason, I'm like, it's a game, but surely, like, there's not an actual game to it.
Surely it's just, like girls be shopping, am I right?
Girls
and you just
be
move the
shopping.
Characters around. Yeah, but I couldn't remember exactly the gameplay. I played this so much, but it has been since I was like below 10 years old since I played this, so I had to go back and research like how did this work. It's awesome. Let's talk about the board itself. So
please.
It's actually pretty rad because it's like it's a two-story, three-dimensional mall with a computerized staircase in the center of the game. And it has like it has the stairs, and that's also where the ATM is, and then it provides a catwalk from one side of the second story of the mall to the other side, and so the artwork is insanely 90s. It is just incredible.
I'll say this: this is a nicer version of it, but this is like a fancy ass looking game.
It's a really fancy fucking Jesus. Game. It's just, especially because it came out in 89. Like, think about that for a second. It came out in 89, and then kids played it all throughout. There's a newer version of it, but original or bust, for real.
Oh, I guess I'm looking at Electronic Mall Madness. Maybe that's the nicer one, but maybe there's, like, the janky, like poor people Mall Madness.
like, abandoned mall Madness. The names of the stores were beautiful things. It was like Frump's Fashion Boutique, Novel Idea Books, Fork It Over Kitchen Store, and of course, the Men's Shop.
Which, I mean, they need to have one in every, you have to have one in every mall.
It's true. And so it was a turn-based game in which you could move your character around trying to get the 6 items that you need and race back to the parking lot. So the game also included 2 sale signs and 1 clearance sign that you would put in front of a store. So you were told at the beginning of the game when you tell them how many, when you tell the little staircase computer mama how many people were playing, it's like, okay, there's a sale at the Fashion Boutique, a clearance at, you know, Frump's Boutique. Well, that's the same one, but like
the men's store.
The men's store. And so, where am I in my notes? So, and then also randomly throughout the game, Either before or after you take a turn, it'll also be like, there's now a sale at, and it would change the store. So you may be, I mean, how frustrating is that? That like you could be crushing it, like maybe two spaces away from the place with the clearance. And then it's like, JK, bitch. And then it moves the clearance all the way to the other side of
we
the mall.
Jacked them prices like, up to a hundo.
Exactly. And so, yeah, in a very light way, it was a strategy game to teach you budgeting-ish. But, and I say ish because the items were super expensive if you weren't able to make it to the sale for or clearance. So, for instance, from the electronics store, a tape deck was $150.
Which, I mean, honestly, Lisa, who has not paid $150 for such a thing?
I don't know. Have you gone to the pet shop for their exotic parrot? Because it is $200.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I want to establish that tape deck... only $50 less than a fucking exotic parrot.
It's true. What about this one? You go to the department store, you buy floor lamp, $110.
I like floor lamp?
A floor lamp.
Okay. Like a really big one or just like a small lamp that you just set on the floor because they you don't have any furniture
say
yet?
You use your imagination because you're 9 years old. Like, why... what floor lamp? What are floor lamps, first of all? Second of all, why is it $110? That's more money than I'll see for the next 6 years total. This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking about yeah. I forgot kids. We had no money.
Kids. No fucking money. And then, or you could go to the computer store and get just what they call software, which was $100. What are
which
you fucking buying Adobe Photoshop? Get
just Adobe
here.
Photoshop with nothing. Just like just nothing, yeah. I have this disc. If I ever get a computer, it's gonna be amazing.
I just to me this is hilarious to me, the thought that these are the things that they had for sale at the mall to be like, yes, this is what preteens are gonna want to go buy. Floor lamps, exotic birds, prescription sunglasses, and software. You know, or it's just like, why are you including these things? But so you just like in Monopoly, you could you know how you can be sent like directly to jail, go to jail. Well,
yeah.
I think at some point, the only way you could really interact with another player is that if you could move them anywhere. I think if you, I don't know how that worked out, but there would be like a chance where it would tell you that you could tell your friend to meet you at the pizza store, which is like up on the second floor in the corner. So it would really fuck you. Yeah. So, but I don't, but the weird thing about this also is that you had like, I think I read it was like $200 maybe for the first iteration of the game. They eventually dropped it down to $150 for like your starting line. But if you ran out of cash, which could happen easily because fucking exotic parrots are $200. Mm-hmm. If you couldn't get an item on sale or clearance, you would just have to like use some of your turns to use the staircase to go up to the ATM and get more money from the bank. And it was just like, and it would just be like, I don't know, here's $50. And then be like, here's $200. Like, so, this doesn't teach you shit about budgeting. It just tells you to, like, ask for permission. And daddy Moneybags is always like, yeah, hell yeah, whatever. Go get that bird. It's mall madness.
So when you said 200 and then they dropped to 150, were you saying that's how much the actual board game cost? Because then you started talking about game money again immediately afterwards. I couldn't tell.
Sorry. Yeah, I was talking about how much you get when you start the game.
Okay.
So like your personal budget. Yeah.
When you said 200 and 150, I was like, man, I was literally about to make a joke. Like, man, that sounds like almost exactly how much everything costs in this game too. But
yeah,
that makes way more sense. That's a super expensive board game.
Yeah. But I mean, of course now the original versions are going for like $40 or $50 on eBay. And I'm not going to lie, I'm extremely tempted to get one, but I'm not going to get one because it would be, you know, anything nostalgia like this, you buy it and you're like, I really need this. And then you get it, you're like, why do I have this?
Yeah. I haven't done that with anything since I've started this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. I've been telling Jack. Oh, I like all week I've like, I just want an N64. And Jack was like, we'll just get an emulator. I was like, no, I need an N64. He was like, and for what? To play a game on there for like a week and then never touch it again. I was like, I know, that's exactly what I wanted
to take a picture of myself with it. And post it on social media to be like, look
for
at me,
sure.
I'm retro, and then never play it again.
And then, yeah, and then immediately go back to not playing games again.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that's Mall Madness. I love this game. I want to play it again. That's Mall Madness.
It's one of those things where there's like different things on this show that pop up, and I'm like, I think about it, and I'm like, have we not covered this because we're going to do it for a court case, or if we just covered it before? And it's like stuff like this. I'm like, that I can't believe we haven't covered this because this was such a big like like one of, like you said, two of the big board games that came out, this and the other one that you played, the Dream Phone or whatever.
Dream Phone. So a lot of board games were for guys, I think, in the 90s, and the girls ones, they're like, what if you just pretended to put makeup on?
Well,
like,
in fairness, I would say most of the quote-unquote boy board games were just gender-neutral board games. I don't think Sorry was like, here's a boy board game.
Well, yeah, but you didn't get the, like, super boy version of Sorry where they were just beer cans and bullets, and they were like,
Sorry.
No.
So beer cans, bullets, and, like, one of the pieces was just a wang. So it's just a lot of different,
Oh, I just want big, that version of Sorry.
Oh, my God. That's, like, the Spencer's Gifts version of Sorry.
Yes, but
instead of different colors, you get different shapes. All right.
Yes.
Thank you very much. That was wonderful. So I have a little bit of an unusual thing. Some people might say, like, Andy, it feels like you're doing this because you're lazy and, like, you were just like, I didn't really want to look up something. That's not true. That's not what it was. I did this because it was a throwback to something we did in some early episodes. We hadn't done in a while.
Oh.
And this is a form of trivia that we've done in the past. Not your typical trivia, but rather poetry lyric readings. From the 90s.
Yes, I love and this. I promise I won't Google.
Okay. That would be so weird if you did. Like, you're just like, I want to show off to the people listening to this podcast. Okay.
Ugh.
So I've selected three different songs. I might do all three of them. I might just do a couple, depending on how long it takes you.
Okay.
First, we've been through this such a long, long time. Just trying to kill the pain. Oh, yeah. Love is always coming, and love is always going, and no one's really sure who's letting go today, walking away.
What? You almost had me on the first line, and I was like, I think I could get this, and then you kept talking. I said, I don't even know if he's still speaking English any longer.
Did you understand the words that I was saying?
No, I understood the words, okay. But I'm just like, can I, one more time.
Okay. We've been through this such a long, long time. Just trying to kill the pain. Ooh, yeah. But love is always coming, and love is always going. And no one's really sure who's letting go today. Walking away.
Man, I want to say this is No Rain, but I'm probably wrong.
By Blind Melon?
Blind Melon? Yeah.
Okay.
Very wrong.
Here's the insane thing, Lisa.
Okay.
It's not No Rain by Blind Melon.
Okay.
It is November Rain by Guns N' Roses, which is insane that you said No Rain, and it's literally almost the entire title to the song.
That's amazing.
And a totally different song entirely.
Wow. Oh, shit. I mean, well, I kind of texted.
I actually like that answer better than had you gotten it right.
You can't do November Rain without No Rain. So.
Exactly.
Holy shit. I can't believe. Well, that's funny, but I'm wrong. Like, super wrong. Wow. November
that
Rain.
Was the
that
weirdest,
video, too.
The weirdest way of getting it wrong. Anyway.
I know. So. Well, hey, I'm going to make it weird. That's what I do. Man, that video. Can we talk about that video? So fucking weird.
Yeah.
So awesome.
It's been too long. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It has to do with like a wedding, and it's cool. Anyway, I would love another round if you're open.
I am open.
Okay.
The 23rd of loneliness, and we don't talk like we used to do. Now this is pretty strange.
I'll stop you right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's Creep.
Yeah.
By TLC. I'll stop you right there.
Here's
fam.
The thing. I don't know this song well enough, so I was like, oh, she won't. Like, this is a tough one.
But please, I've been dying for the day to cover TLC's Was a Crazy Sexy Cool album. Dying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you worry, guys. It's coming. But that's Creep by TLC.
Well, see, Redemption. You just crushed that one. So,
fuck
okay.
Yeah.
And last but not least.
Let's do this.
I walk the corner to the rubble that used to be a library. Line up to the mine cemetery now. What we don't know keeps the contracts alive and moving. They don't gotta burn the books. They just remove them.
What is it? What are these words?
While arms warehouses fill as quick as the cells. And then there's a lyric after that that it would give away the song.
Do it, because I have no idea.
No, I can't tell you.
Okay, it's about books and libraries and filling up warehouses with books. I got that. Nailed it.
Think about the air of like the way that I said it. Think about like the exact opposite of that as being like the way that the song is done.
Okay, so I would feel like perhaps you're maybe alluding to Metallica. Is it Turn the Page?
No.
Shit, what is it?
Okay, then I'll give you the next line.
Okay.
Rally around the family, pocket full of shells.
Bulls on Parade.
Yes.
Rage Against the Machine. Holy
That's
shit.
That's why
I couldn't tell you
because I was like, well, it says the cells. So I was like, well, that rhymes with, it's the rhyme before it. So I was like, maybe she'll get it. But like I said, it's kind of like TLC. I would never have known that you would have guessed that immediately. And this one you could have just as easily. So awesome. Yeah. But hey, Lisa, I will say that was pretty impressive. The November Rain thing, honestly, still the most impressive. But but yeah, just wanted to bust these out. So I'm glad there was at least one that took you a little bit to think on it. So
yes. Oh, that was fun. Thank you for that. Poetic lyric reading is fun.
It worked out well because your thing was a little bit longer too this time. So it kind of filled a little bit of the, even though it was a little bit shorter. So
hell yeah. Well, how about this? How about we take a break, come back with poll results, and then we'll do our court case, which is delicious.
Yes. I'm going to eat like 7 sandwiches before I come back just so I don't.
Don't want the
leave
the
during
thing
the
that
podcast while I'm talking about it. Yeah.
I hear you. All right. Well, we'll be back in a few.
Bye.
Hey, 90s Court listeners. Lisa here. I'm here to talk to you really quickly about a product that I absolutely love and I've used every single day for years and years and years. Let me hit you with a couple of scenarios. Perhaps you're miserable because your partner snores like crazy. Or maybe you're a night shift worker who can't get proper sleep during the day. Or maybe you live in a really loud and busy downtown area. There's hope for you, and it comes in the form of sleep phones from Acoustic Sheep. I'm not lying when I say I've been using them religiously for years, and they're the sole reason I'm not a crazy person suffering from insomnia. Sleep phones are just ultra-soft headphones and a headband that are extremely bed-friendly. Side sleepers can also rejoice, for you can comfortably block out the sounds of the world while getting some soothing, noise-free sleep without hurting your ears. They even have wireless Bluetooth options so you don't get tangled up in cords overnight. I personally connect mine to my phone each night and listen to some white noise to drown out my partner's snores. I'm telling you, I've gifted them to night shift nurses, in-laws, basically anybody with ears that values a good night's sleep. They even have options now that come preloaded with binaural beats or deeply relaxing ASMR content. So you can find something that's just right for you and maybe not even have to connect to your phone at all if you don't want to. Andy and I both use these now, and we'd love to help you get some rest too. Go to sleepphones.com and use the code 90scourt to get $10 off your order of $39 or more. That's sleepphones.com, and the code is 90scourt. Sweet dreams. Welcome back from the break. What is up? You made it. Welcome to
See,
the other side.
Lisa did a song today, and it was really good. Look
was
at
it?
You.
Yeah. Look at me.
Look at us.
Look at us. Look at us.
90s Court episode 78. Just old pals.
Just really now catching our stride.
Just a couple old goofy gusses on the
radio. There's one podcast I listen to called Yeah Dude, which I believe is now on episode like 800 or 900.
Uh-huh.
But they've been going since 2006. But right. I don't think we have that much stuff to cover, certainly.
No.
But
No. No, we're not. If we are still going then, and we're just like, for my thing today, I'm going to be talking about a grain of sand I saw in the 90s. Like, you're like, fuck you. Get off the fucking radio.
Do you remember when Tootsie Rolls did like a revamp of their rappers at some point? I remember. Okay.
I remember.
7-minute episode. We're done.
I'm out. Dip.
So dip. All right. Let's talk.
Lisa, tell me how I did last week.
Not so good.
No? Okay.
Not feeling so good. As one of my favorite TikToks goes, I'm not feeling so good. Armageddon versus Deep Impact.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I mean, it was catastrophic.
I mean, the fact is that some stuff exploded, mm-hmm. and it blew up.
Yes.
Somehow one of them blew up the other, which is weird.
Yes, absolutely. One blew up the other. So Facebook, 83% to 17% Armageddon.
Tell me how you really feel, Facebook. Sweet.
They have so many feelings about this. Twitter, a little more generous, 68% to 32% Armageddon. And Instagram, back to a little bit of a punching bag. 74% to 26% Armageddon.
I will Yikes. Say the majority of commentary on this on these two films was that it was neither was either neither or they remember one of them and don't remember the other one.
100%
Yeah.
So which is exactly how it played out. Feels. Yeah, I mean, even I watching Armageddon was like, can I be honest with you right now? I was not honest last week. I had a movie rental for Armageddon. It was a 3-day rental from YouTube. I did not finish the movie in time. I did not finish it in time. I tried. I tried so hard, but I was just like, I can't. I can't
like,
be
okay,
here
I
with
got
you.
To this point. I'm going to Wikipedia the rest of this shit.
I was just like, I was like, I remember how it ends a little bit. I'll just fudge. But like at some point, I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
At some point, they say that they don't want to close their eyes. They don't want to fall asleep because they miss you, baby. I don't know. Something like that. We'll wing it.
So there's my full honesty. I did lean on the old wiki for the last bit of that because I was just like, fam, I can't do it. I did the best I could. Okay. But listen, I did miss a thing.
That's all right. Sometimes you got to lean on stuff like I do with this exact same intro every single episode. Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. Is that seamless? Did I do it good?
It was so good. Shockingly good. How about I introduce this week's court case for us? Because you'll be going first. So we are staying in the mall. We are fully in the mall. If you recall from a very early episode, what was it, episode 3 I said or something like that?
I don't remember what episode that was. I know we covered some other mall stuff later, but yeah, that I think it was even earlier than that.
Whenever we did, I think it was Spencer's versus Hot Topic, that episode I did a Kiss, Marry, Kill of food court restaurants in the mall. Today we are sticking in the food court. We're bringing it back. We're diving in a little bit deeper because Kiss, Marry, Kill is not enough. Okay, it's just not enough. So we are doing Auntie Anne's pretzels versus Dippin' Dots ice cream. Okay,
One of these perfect things. And here's the thing: if by chance that you have listened to episode 3 at any point recently, or not episode 3, whenever that Kiss, Marry, Kill was that we happened to do, you will know my feelings on this. Is that just so you all know, I married Auntie Anne's. Mm-hmm. I kissed.
Cinnabon,
and I killed Dippin' Dots because Dippin' Dots are dumb.
I was shocked. I was Pikachu reaction faced about that. Like, I cannot believe. Like, I was like, I cannot believe you said that about Dippin' Dots. I thought everybody felt the way about Dippin' Dots the way that I feel about Dippin' Dots.
Look at all these tiny balls of tiny, you know what? I won't get into that because that's your court case. So, anyways, I'm not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk to you about melts in your mouth, orgasmic experience. Okay, I'm not going to get in. Okay, not that far. An amazing mouthgasm of flavor. Auntie Anne's pretzels, thank you very much, which actually is a very wholesome and sweet company, and it's weird that I'm talking about their stuff in such a horrendously sexual way. Yeah. So Auntie Anne's, my goodness. So listen, we have a mall. And I'm, like I said, I'm from near Champaign. That's where I grew up in that area generally, except in a smaller town. So whenever we go there, you know, there's always been the food court, right? The food court has come and gone. Businesses have come and gone from the food court. I've seen them come and go at different times. The one thing that's always been there has been Auntie Anne's. And when I say it's been there, I don't mean in the food court. Let me explain.
Okay.
So... I've actually mentioned this before, I think in an early episode. It's one of the few reasons that I go to the mall, even now, honestly. If I ever go, it's just like, hey, I'm going to go get that. For the majority of my life, though, usually it would be whenever I would go to the mall, it'd be like, I don't know, like there's this place called Tilt, which was like the number one place. It was like an arcade in our mall, which was super rad. Obviously, it went downhill after time, and eventually it's gone entirely. But, you know, that was one thing. And I think what was special about Auntie Anne's especially, and I don't know how they do this in other malls or other places where they exist, because I know they exist in, you know, airports and other, you know, places where they have kiosks, essentially, of some sort.
Yeah.
So when you first come in, especially as a kid, you know, kid or teenager or whatever, whenever I was going to the mall with my parents, my brothers, my friends, whoever it happened to be, we almost always entered in through the food court. Which is just because that just happens to be like where the most parking was kind of in that area. And then you go in and there's the octopus basically of a mall where you go on the different arms to get to the center. And so you go through this food court and you're just like, I just need to get into the mall, right? Because I've got stuff to do. I'm going to go get some stuff. Got to go to Lids. And then I got to go to some equivalent of GameStop. I'll go over that in a second. For some reason, I went to Lids like when I was in my early teens into my like mid-teens. I went to Lids every single time and there was no I think I bought something from it like once, but I just always went and looked at hats and then was like, wow, these are really expensive. And they just were every time, but I still kept looking at them.
The things we do to ourselves.
So you skip past the food court. Like, we need to get going. So you, you know, walk in, you go down the arm to the middle of the thing where there's the big muscly body of the octopus in the middle where there's a big circle. And then it kind of branches off into the different parts of the mall. And when you arrive there in the center, rather than the nasty, nasty, squiddy octopus smell, you smell something else. Because you're like, wait a minute, I thought the food court was way back there, but what's that, an oasis? And you look over and there's an Auntie Anne's right there, just right in the middle, just waiting for you. And it's like, listen, hey, sweetie, sweet boy. Hey.
Hey, sweetie, sweet boy.
Hey, listen, like, I know you're not here for the stuff. I mean, your friends like shopping and everything like that. You're just a little lost. You're not feeling too comfortable, are you? You want to come over here and get fat? And I was like, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am, I do. Thank you for noticing.
As like a siren, she beckoned to me, brought me over, and brought me to my doom. But seriously, in our mall, we had the Auntie Anne's like right. It was like just like, not like the exact center, obviously, because that would be weird if it was in the exact middle, but like just off one of the branches, right when you're in the middle, there's an Auntie Anne's there. And it was always like every time you walked to the middle, you smelled it. And that's the thing is a lot of times fried food doesn't always smell amazing, particularly like if you're not in the mood for it. This always smelled good because bread doesn't smell bad most of the time. It's difficult for that to happen, especially when it's cooked in the miracle oil or whatever the fuck it is that Auntie Anne's pretzels are cooked in.
You're absolutely right. I never considered that the smell of fresh baked pretzels is in and of itself its own delicacy. Yes. And the draw, I mean, like, because like when I bake bread, even if I don't want it, it's like, I'm having bread, motherfucker. Yeah. I'm having bread right now. It's like when you have a pretzel, it's like, I'm having a pretzel. Mm-hmm. I smell it. I'm eating it now actively. It's so good. You're right.
You get it and you eat it immediately. And
yes.
And that's the thing for me is that was just, it's always been that thing that like when I got it, it was a big deal. Like, yeah, it was always there and everything like that. But when I went there, just because I didn't go to the mall a ton, I just wasn't a big shopper back in the day. When I went there, it was always just a normal ass pretzel. And by that, I mean like just generic pretzel, cup of cheese. Don't need anything fancy, especially back then. I think they had like a lesser menu, so there wasn't like a lot. I think they have some sweet ones, which we'll go over in a little bit. But all I wanted was some of that magic grease bread, and they gave it to me so good.
Magic grease bread.
They just say, like, give me some of that hot magic grease bread. And they said, okay, here you are. It is a pretzel, though. And I'm like, that's even better. I like hot, tough magic grease bread.
Yeah.
There's something about, like, I've just always been a fan of soft pretzels in general. Like, even where they're the shitty ones that I would get, like, in the high school snack line or something like that.
Right.
Just, they were just over-salted and were just basically the ones that you would get in a frozen pack and just put in the microwave.
Yep.
But I would still love those. Just, I want a big piece of tough bread to dip in cheese and eat and act like it's food. Like, act like it's a meal. But these ones, just lightly salted. You don't need to put too much salt on it. They're not worried about that. They know they got the good shit. It's not thick like those big pretzels. It's a little bit thinner. And it's like, it's got the toughness of a pretzel, but also just literally melts in your mouth. Just, you eat it and it's just like, it's kind of the equivalent of like, you know, some people might not like this, but the equivalent like to the donut world of a Krispy Kreme in the sense that it's like, it's almost ethereal in the sense that you eat it and it just, what's that?
You're absolutely right. You are 100% right about this. 100% right, Andy.
And the way, and for some reason, the way that it's fried, even though it is very, very bad for you, somehow doesn't taste like it. It tastes like you're just like, this is light and airy. This is nice. This is bread. I mean, bread's not bad for you. And so just you eat it and you feel not bad about yourself afterwards. In fact, you're quite happy.
Right.
So And as I mentioned, jeez. I don't know if I've ever gotten a different flavored pretzel there. I think I might have gotten like pretzel bites there before, or like a pretzel dog or something like that, but never like a sweet one or anything like that. Because when I go there, it's a special occasion and I'm getting what I want. So let's see. So I've already went over some of the different mall stuff I went. So anyways, like I said, especially back in there, like a big day in the mall for me, like I mentioned, would be swinging by Spencer's, because Spencer's, you just have to go there and check shit out whether you want anything or not.
Yes.
Grabbing Auntie Anne's, eating that. Swinging into the video game store. I can't remember. It was like a GameStop-esque place, but it wasn't exactly. It was so small, and it was very GameStop-esque in the sense that they would give you like 10 cents for a used video game, you know, for a used video game, and only if it was store credit. And then, as I mentioned, lids. And I have the word why with exclamation points and question marks afterwards.
Why? Why did I do this to myself?
Yeah. For and then, of course, years tilt. And years. And then, of course, tilt, which is basically, it's like, that's where I spent most of the time, was just playing video games. Mm-hmm. So, history. So, I was telling Lisa when I first picked this up, was that Auntie Anne's, I'm like, so I'm going to talk about my experience of loving pretzels, and people will be like, man, Andy loves bread. And you've gotten that part of the story so far, right?
Yes.
What I didn't expect was to find anything more than basically a, like, one-page, like, one-scroll Wikipedia article, and, like, a page that's like, we here at Auntie Anne's produce the best quality pretzels this side of the Mississippi, or something like that. So, like, it wasn't just that. I was expecting that to be it, and, like, no resources on this. I was wrong.
Because
evidently, it's a well-known story that had multiple pages covering it, is the saga of Auntie Anne's pretzels. Now, I say all of that, and that build-up is going to make it sound like it's this insanely epic thing, but it is just a story, period, which is interesting for the history of Auntie Anne's.
Okay.
So, without further ado, Auntie Anne's pretzels. Back in 1970, I'm sorry, I was going to act like I was rolling film, but I am not.
I really thought you were. I'm waiting for the YouTube music to start.
Yes. So, so I started looking into that. So Anne Baylor, I don't know the pronunciation. It's B-E-I-L-E-R. So it's either Beeler or Baylor. She grew up in an Amish Mennonite community, which, for those of you who are not aware, it's not quite Amish. It's kind of one where they have like some technologies, but only like for the basics. And for anyone who does actually know what that is, don't at me, because that's just what the article said. So deal with it. So,
yeah.
So in 1975, she was married. She had a husband. They had a good relationship and everything like that. And they had a child who was 19 months old. And tragedy struck in 1976 whenever their child was tragically killed in an accident at their farm.
Oof.
Now you're thinking, man, this is a really weird story to bring up on this, Annie, but it is relevant.
Okay.
So as a result of
this... I'm not going to make a joke.
No, it's okay.
I'm not going to do it.
Okay, that's good.
That's good.
As a result, so she sought counseling from her local pastor. And here's the problem. It gets worse.
What?
Which, as a result of her counseling from a local pastor, because, like, they were wrecked. Like, this was a really, really horrible tragedy that happened with their child.
Yeah.
So as a result, she was going there in this local, you know, Amish Mennonite community where there's not a lot of resources, to this person who ended up sparking an abusive, quote-unquote, relationship between the two of them for 6 years, where I put it, like, and again, like I said, I promise there's a reason for all of this.
Okay.
It doesn't really sound like it was much of a relationship. It sounds like she was pretty horribly abused and manipulated. And eventually he was kicked out of the priesthood, or he was kicked out of his profession at some point. And so she finally escapes that cycle and comes to her husband and basically says, listen, and she tells him everything that's been going on during the entire time. She's like, I'm so sorry. And all of this stuff. And the crazy thing is he like forgives her and says like, no, it's okay. You know, I understand it was a rough situation to be in. And again, it sounded like the way that they were framing it was like she was in this relationship and that's the reason he was forgiving her. Not that there was abuse she was apologizing for. But so rather than being upset with her or divorcing her or something like that, he forgave her and they repaired their marriage.
Okay.
So her husband, as a result of living in this community that, like I said, has a lack of resources, decided he wanted to start free counseling service for their community so that no one would ever have to be in the position that she was in to have to only seek treatment from, you know, a religious figure or something like that again. He just wanted to offer that service because he just thought it would be a good service for the community. This would be a free service, of course, though.
Okay.
Unfortunately, you can't make a living off of free services. So she decided, because of the fact that he had been so amazing and supported her and, like, you know, and stuck with her through all of this stuff, that she wanted to go out and support him so that way he could eventually open that free counseling for everyone. So she ended up, saving some money up, and there was a local concession stand at, like, a farmer's market in a busy town nearby. So she went and actually bought it. It had already existed, and so she basically kept selling the stuff that they'd sold there, which were things like, you know, hot dogs, pizzas, pretzels, chips, things like that. And, you know, it was doing okay. And then she ended up, at some point adding some kind of a secret ingredient, I'll never tell, coy face, to her pretzels. And as a result, people love the pretzels so much, she's like, okay, well, I'm going to punt this pizza, I'm going to punt these chips, I'm going to punt these hot dogs, I'm going to sell these pretzels. And then, you know what? That's when they became Annie Ann's Pretzels, as they started growing and making more and more branches and eventually became a franchise. So as a result of all that, basically the entire reason she started this whole thing was just so her husband could have this counseling thing. And after they opened, like, their third shop, he was able to do that. And so I just thought it was this really cool story of, like, redemption because of the fact that, like, all of these horrible things happened to her. And as a result, she was able to open this enormous franchise that would end up growing immensely. So
that is the wildest shit.
I know. It was just,
I also can't believe they're just like, hey, check out this dirty laundry, and just airing the shit out of it on the FA.
She wrote a book. So
there we go.
So in 2007, she wrote a book, and she, like, to sell the book, like, gave interviews with a lot of people. So this was her own words. So fortunately, it was not just like breaking news, like scandal at Annie Ann's Pretzels. But no, so that was super. That was just a weird, crazy story that was unexpected when looking up a pretzel chain.
Yes.
So 1988 was whenever the first stand opened, when she first bought it, and within just like a few years, that's when she kept getting more and more and more. And like within the early 90s to mid 90s, like it was exploding to hundreds of stores. And today, they have 1,500 locations.
No big deal.
Obviously, being in places you would expect, like malls, Walmarts, amusement parks, rest areas, airports, and the like.
Yeah.
So, Ann Baylor, the owner of which eventually sold Auntie Anne's in 2005 to her brother, who had worked for the franchise, so that she could begin charity work of speaking to groups and events about leadership, purpose, and the power of confession. So she currently tours and just gives speeches to people and everything like that, and tries to help different women's groups and things like that. So pretty decent lady, I would say. So
yeah,
so that's a nice heartwarming story. And now I'm gonna tell you about the menu.
Okay, let's talk about the gut busting like, menu,
the ultimate twist.
I've
so,
been dying to talk about twist, no pun intended.
Ooh, look at us. I was gonna say it's also funny that they said she became the breadwinner, and I'm like, huh. So
that's
anyways.
Too all right.
Yeah.
All right, everybody.
So some of the foods that they have, again, these foods that I've never really tried except, so the OG pretzel, booyah, cinnamon sugar pretzel, sweet almond pretzel.
That looks so good.
Sour cream and onion pretzel, I'll pass.
Nope.
Roasted garlic and Parmesan. Pepperoni, which, okay, understand I will wreck that, but it looks so gross. It looks disgusting when you
really
look at
gross.
It.
Yeah.
It looks like it was made by a 7-year-old.
Yes.
A jalapeno pretzel.
Okay.
And a raisin pretzel. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about the jalapeno is, similar to the pepperoni, it looks a little bit like a 7-year-old just was like, I'm going to cut this up. I'm just going to put them on the pretzel. Mm-hmm. They're like, wow, that's just a pretzel with some jalapenos on it. They're like, I know.
Like, I did it. This, aren't I a genius?
Yeah, I did it. I win. They also have the various pretzel nugs of the various different varieties. They have the pretzel dogs. All of which with the various dipping sauces, of course. They have some sweet and savory sauces. I'm not going to go over all of those. But yeah, I love Auntie Anne's Pretzels. And if you love Auntie Anne's Pretzels, vote for me. My name is Andy Claude Filter, and I approve this message.
I am looking at a picture of something called the pretzel dog bucket.
Okay.
And it just looks like a little bucket. Let me see, pretzel.
It's like
pretzel
just,
dog bucket.
Are you ready to bucket. Ruin yourself? Oh yeah, pretzel bucket.
Pretzel bucket. Well, but it's the pretzel dog bucket, which just looks like a bucket full of little severed wieners.
Little severed wieners with bread on them.
Severed wieners.
Severed bread wieners.
Also, I want a bucket. Listen, I've tried so hard and come so far, but in the end, I just want a bucket of pretzel bites.
I want a bucket of pretzels.
That's all I want, Andy. I can eat a kale salad every fucking day for the rest of my life. But if someone was like, "Do you want a pretzel?" I'd be like, "Absolutely, yes, I want a pretzel. Yeah. Give it to me now."
And just knowing
I will stab
each,
you.
Each one of these bites is the same texture as the big pretzel.
Ugh.
Yeah, I would just like take just a vat of cheese and that bucket and just ruin myself.
That's your new wife. That's your wife.
That's
is
my
a bucket
wife
of pretzels.
Is a bucket of pretzels. It didn't last long, but we loved hard and quick.
Wow. That's Auntie Anne's. I gotta applaud.
Thank you.
That was a good
Thank
one.
You.
That was wow. that was a lot more than I expected.
I know. Me too.
I did. So okay, I'm going to set the scene for you.
Good luck, small balls of ice cream.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Sorry.
I can do this. All right. I can do Dippin' Dots. I get this. Mm-hmm. Okay. Here comes the scene. You ready? You are a fat little girl in Texas who has just had an exhausting day of trying on school clothes all day, and none of them fit well. None of it.
Oh, man.
You've wandered in and out of Macy's and JCPenney's, and you're coming away with an ensemble that would look best on the registrar of your elementary school in the front office. But instead, it is for you, the third grader, Lisa. And so, defeated and sad, but carrying lots of bags full of clothes that are ill-fitting, you know that there's only one thing that can cheer you up, and that thing is food. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, it's about 2 p.m. at this point. You've already had a foot-long meatball sub from Subway.
It's true.
That's also like a secret. Just like that's an old memory of mine was the meatball subs. I don't know if I could ever return to
it
these days.
Her name is Lisa.
And she loves meatball subs. I have a problem. So you've already destroyed a foot-long meatball sub, and you've had like a cookie or three from Subway.
Sure, right.
And now it's time to smooth over those emotions with a special treat. So you convince your mother to let you have a cup of cryogenic ice cream. Okay. That's right. You want ice cream balls. That's what you want. You're upset. You're, what's fourth grade? 9, 10 years old. You want ice cream balls in your face, in your mouth, everywhere, in your heart, in your soul. You want the ice cream balls. All
heart,
right.
Yes.
In your heart. Well, they go to your heart for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Dippin' Dots is a very, very special treat, in my opinion, because instead of just being something tasty, it's also got the added factor of novelty because of its presentation, because balls. Okay?
Novelty, yes.
Novelty. That's 100%. The one thing that's really on my side here, okay?
Sure, yes.
Because once I was just like, this is going to be a slam dunk. It's going to be Dippin' Dots. But you started talking about the smell, and I'm like, I'm sunk. You're right. The smell factor is huge. You can't smell Dippin' Dots.
There's
you
no cartoon even stink lines bringing somebody in the air to Dippin' Dots.
No. It's like fucking Ursula from The Little Mermaid, who's like, come here. And she's like, here's a pretzel. And you're like, this is actually pretty good and rewarding relationship. I am enjoying this.
Oh, no.
And then Dippin' Dots is like, I mean, it's good, but it's not got the smell factor. So, but Dippin' Dots was in every food court, basically of every mall, at their own little like white kiosk, you remember? Which is like one of the things I loved about them. Like they were their standalone thing. Like Auntie Anne's was always built in. Weren't they always like built into the one that, because they had to have like ovens and stuff like that. You can't do like.
Yeah, it couldn't be a standalone. Yeah, exactly.
Right. So it would have to. So like it was kind of buried in with like the, you know, the Panda Express.
They were, hunkered in there. Right.
Yeah. But Dippin' Dots was like, listen, I'm your side chick. I'm here for you. I'm here to fuck it up. And you're like, yeah, Dippin' Dots, let's do it. And you would. So I'm pretty sure. So, like, they have this huge menu of their flavors currently. I'm pretty sure this was the original lineup from what I could tell. It was chocolate, vanilla, rainbow ice, banana split, or at least rainbow, banana split, and birthday cake. I'm pretty sure those were the five, like, main anchor flavors. They may have had other ones, but I couldn't
birthday
tell.
Cake feels like a thing, of the past like 10 years of people being obsessed with that. I mean, it's possible.
I think you're
right. That just feels like a more today thing than it did back then.
I think you're right. I went ahead and included it, but I kind of had this like, maybe not. But then, so since the original launching of this, they've also gone to include flavors like Ultimate Brownie Batter, Frosty Cereal Ice Cream. No, that was Fruity. It's supposed to be Fruity, F-R-O-O-T-Y, Fruity.
That makes much more sense.
Yeah, sorry. I was like, that's not what it said. Fruity Cereal Ice Cream, Cotton Candy, Cool Mint Crunch with Oreos, Cookies and Cream with Oreos, Chocolate Chip Cookie Dough, and then like a ton more, but who cares, okay? So Dippin' Dots was just, oh man, I don't know. The backstory for you, because I know you care.
Uh-huh.
Dippin' Dots actually originated out of New Grand Chain, Illinois. I have no idea how close that is to you.
Whoa, what? Repeat that?
New Grand Chain, Illinois.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it was,
population 185.
Hell yeah, that's where it came from. Is that anywhere near you?
I've never heard of this in my life.
Never heard? Okay. So it was developed in 1988 by a man named Kurt Jones, and he was a microbiologist who knew a lot about cryogenic technology. And so actually at the time he was trying to produce like a sustainable, efficient like food for his cattle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, oops, I made ice cream.
Oh no.
Well, no, he didn't say oops, I made ice cream, but
in my cow maker.
Oh shit, this is delicious. it was not an accident, but it did turn out to be that this is how it was made. So he went from producing like cow feed like this to what's now this flash frozen ice cream that's frozen with liquid nitrogen. And that's cool, I guess. That's pretty cool.
Like you said, I mean, the novelty at the time, like, I mean, okay, I'm not saying, I'm not dissing on
it,
but
no. Go for it. Trash all you want.
No, I'm not trashing. I'm saying, like, at the time, like, I was like, this is unbelievable. Like, you'd stick your tongue and it would just, like, all the little dots would just, like, just, like, Velcro themselves to your tongue and be like, we're coming with you.
These are the best memories. Oh, that is killing me. Andy. Ah.
Uh-huh.
So it's just, you're right, because you could use a spoon if you're a monster like me. You could just use a spoon and eat it like a regular person who just wanted ice cream, but, you know, paid $2 more because it's in balls. But it was like, you would just, it was just the best.
Let me ask you, so let me posit a question to you real quick.
Sure.
So if I were not to use a spoon, you've just called yourself a monster for doing that. How would I eat the entire serving of Dippin' Dots without a spoon? Just pouring
like
it into my
ways.
Mouth, like that's not the savage
way. I feel like you could like knock it, like people knock ice from a cup when they're just trying to eat the ice. But I feel you're right.
You can maybe like pick a few early on or something like that for the novelty purpose. You're gonna need a spoon at some point or else you're gonna
you
have
will
a bad
need a
day.
Spoon. And you'll always get to the end and there are just a few at the bottom and you're chasing them around.
I'm done.
But then they start melting. You're like, doesn't matter. And the thing that I liked about Dippin' Dots was that it was actually more than it felt like than it looked like. Like I'd be about half, I'd be like, oh, this is so small. And you begin eating, you're like, this is actually pretty satisfying. You're about halfway done. You're like, there's still a pretty good amount left. Like for a girl that could really put some food away in middle school and high school, I was always happy with what happened with Dippin' Dots. I never was like, I need more. It's like, no, you're fine. That was sufficient, which is an act of God to me at that age. So it originally was a hit for like amusement parks. It originally opened at like the first amusement park was Opryland in USA or in Nashville, Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
So that was the first one that it was in. And then shortly thereafter, they opened their dealer network in 1991, which meant they could be sold at like, you know, Dippin' Dots could be sold at kiosks at fairs and festivals and then retail settings like malls and stuff like that. And then in 1995, they began international trade with Japan. And so it started being sold overseas. And then in 1998, I vaguely remember this. I don't think I ever used it. They launched their Dippin' Dots vending machines.
See, this is what I remember more than anything, honestly, rather than like stands, is more of these vending machines.
Did you get them from? Because I don't think I ever did.
I've gotten them from a vending machine like twice, but that's it.
But do you recall if they were served into a bowl or were they served in like a pre-sealed pouch?
I don't remember exactly, but I almost felt like it like shot, you dropped like a cup down or something like that and then like filled the cup with things. I'm also might be imagining that, but
I like your idea better. So let's just say that's how it went. So if my item can sound cooler. So this is where things get a little funny on their timeline of history from their website. Okay. So not noted, of course, was their filing for bankruptcy in 2011.
Whoops.
Oops, all bankruptcy. They're fine. But in 2010, on their website, they're like, prior to this, they were like, we entered the international market. We started being sold at fairs. We started doing this, we changed our location to like Paducah, Kentucky or whatever it was. And mm-hmm. and now they're like, 2010, we reached 3 million fans on Facebook.
Which, I mean, what's the real achievement here? And Lisa, I just realized, so I forgot to mention earlier about New Grand Chain, Illinois. Uh-huh. It's like basically in Kentucky. It's like just like it's one of those like tiny little towns. It's like right there. It's very close to Paducah. So that's why I thought when you mentioned Paducah.
Oh,
I thought
interesting.
I'd mention
that. So they're like, oh, we moved to Kentucky. You mean like 20 minutes away? Like, yeah.
It's like 20 minutes from Kentucky. Yeah.
Yeah. So the 3 million fans in 2013 on the website. Dippin' Dots, they pointed this out. They go, Dippin' Dots begins distribution to pharmacies. What? What did you just say?
So, are you just letting us know that, like, we can get it at CVS? Or, like, because it's not a drug. Like, I don't...
Is it a controlled substance? Are we able to... So, like, I've never seen Dippin' Dots at, like, a Walgreens. Is it behind the counter? Do I need a prescription for my CVS Dippin' Dots?
I do like the idea of going there and having one of those the machines there or whatever, and just like, it just drops the cup down and then fills it with little balls, and you're like, all right, I'm good to go.
I'm good. I came here for this. This is my health.
Build Medicare.
Yeah, I'm using my, FSA for this. So, and then in 2016, they called out that they teamed up with someone named Darwin, which is not someone I know. For their own exclusive remix of a song called Dessert.
Okay, let me just... What year was this?
Oh, 2016.
Okay, it was... So after bankruptcy, they're like, what do people love?
They want to hear a remix from a guy named Darwin.
Not even original music, just a remix of some dude that nobody's heard of.
But like, in the video... I'll say this. I watched... the video, I heard the song. I hate myself for having heard it. I think less of myself for it now. It's not good. And the guy's like being handed Dippin' Dots, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And that's basically the video. And I was just like, this is the why is this a thing? But like, at the end of the day, Dippin' Dots is like flashy novelty. It's got this whole presentation thing going on. It mm-hmm. does not have the pull of Auntie Anne's smell. 100% you win in that department. 100%.
I do love that, like, I would never concede smell to you, like, in any way, shape, or form. I do love that you have conceded that to me. Thank you.
Because it is such a strong sense. I mean, getting a degree in advertising, you know that, like, what was it, stores like, Abercrombie and Fitch and things like that, they would have perfumes and colognes sprayed nonstop. Like, going in there felt suffocating because of the scent thing. Subway like uses vents to like shoot the smell of their sandwiches out on, you know, onto the sidewalk. Just like, it's a
that
thing,
nasty bread stank
that, and like it smells a little good until you go inside, and then the rest of the day you smell like
that's
a fucking
footlong. Yeah, you smell the bread from the outside, and then you go inside and you're just like, oh, it's just like all the bad nasty meats.
Yeah, and then you smell like it the rest of the day, and it was never worth it. It was never worth it. But Auntie Anne's wins in that department for sure. I think that my dessert is more exciting. Mm-hmm. I think, you know what? I can't say it's more satisfying, though.
It's more portable for sure.
Well, but not really, because you got, well, no. It, well, because I was never
compared
big
to
on
ice cream. Like that's what it always felt like to me, was that these are easily portable, just like walking down or whatever.
Mm-hmm. See, but like, even when it came to Auntie Anne's, I was never big on the dipping sauces anyway. So even if they gave me one, I'd probably just trash it and then just walk around with the pretzel because that shit rules. Because you can just have the little wax wrapper around it and you're cool. You know, just dragging it along clothes inside, you know, Hot Topic or whatever. I was going to say, you're
going to just get, it's just going to be like, it's a greasy, just a mess. Like,
a grease
as someone,
mess.
As someone who has always been an overhand washer, like whenever like my hand has any nasty texture on it, I would just lose my mind. I'd be like,
It would be, you do need a lot of napkins for Auntie Anne's.
Yes.
For Dippin' Dots, you can... I feel like because it was also so hardcore frozen that it would actually stay congealed pretty well without being a big mess, unless you were like driving with it and had a wreck or something, then that's a problem. But
it feels like there are some surprises that can come about with Dippin' Dots. Like if they were frozen originally and all of a sudden it starts melting and you're like, oh no, like it could be in a place that is very inconvenient for it to start melting.
Yeah, but that is ice cream and you made that decision. So you have to eat responsibly.
Gotta live with that.
You have to live with that. So I don't have too much more on Dippin'. In fact, I don't have anything else on Dippin' Dots. It's just it's just more of an appeal to be like, this was a very deep nostalgia. Like when my biggest memory was that I know they had a Dippin' Dots kiosk in the Richland Mall in Waco, Texas, which is where we would always go shopping for school clothes. And I would always, always be like, I have to have Dippin' Dots. And I would get it and it would be great and it would be awesome. And then I would, you know, it was just like, it was how you knew that that was a special day. Dippin' Dots made it a special day. I think any treat from the food court like that, like you can go get, you know, Panda Express, and that's just like, those are just empty ass calories. But you add in one of these, one of our two treats, and you're like, the day has been made.
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, you could eat like an Auntie Anne's pretzel as like, hey, I just need to get some calories and like move on with my day. Like I maybe skip lunch or something like that. But like, it's also one of those things where like, you could have eaten like 2 hours ago and you're like, this is an experience. It's not about having a meal right now. Like, as opposed to like other places in the mall that, you know, in the actual, you know, in the food court was getting food. This is getting an experience.
Yep.
Which is what I would say as a fat child.
Yeah. Yeah. Again.
Like, so maybe that's not everybody's experience, but for me it was.
See, but like if anyone's saying that it wasn't for them, they're fucking lying to themselves. Mm-hmm. They loved it. They want to be like, no, I ran track. Fuck you. Auntie Anne's was delicious. Dippin' Dots was always there for you. You had a breakup, Dippin' Dots. You're out with the girls, Auntie Anne's. Don't lie to me. That shit was amazing.
Word.
Don't lie to yourself. But that's our court case. We could go on for a while, but we did it. But Andy,
we made it. We talked for over an hour and half of it and most of it was about mall stuff that should have had maybe like a page worth of content. So we did it again.
We did it.
Everybody, thank you all for joining us again. The question you might be asking yourself is, where do I find you guys? Well, we have good news. We do have the social meds, especially if you want to vote for this week's court case. You can find us at 90s Court on Facebook and Twitter. You can also check us out at 90s.court on Instagram. The polls for that are in the story. So if you do follow us on Instagram, you'll want to vote the day of because it'll only be up for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. You can also, if you'd love to support the show and maybe get some bonus content, check us out on patreon.com/90s Court. And of course, check out our merch store, gang. Still up there. Still got some rad stuff. tpublic.com/user/the90s court. And as always, if you'd be so kind, leave us a nice 5-star rating and review on iTunes, or heck, even hop on Podchaser and do that too. Shazam. Lisa, take us out with a big hit.
Pizza in the morning,
pizza in the evening, pizza at supper time.
When pizza's on a bagel.
We can't sing this anymore.
We did the best we could.
All right. See everybody.
Stay rad.
Stay rad.